So how's your body? How are you feeling? It's odd, isn't it, that when everything is working as it should, we're unaware of the parts of our body. We don't really think about them, but something goes wrong, an ache or a pain, and we become very aware of parts we don't think of. Even if we can't feel anything and the doctor says there's something wrong with this bit, maybe it's a bit you've never heard of before, but suddenly you find out everything about something you knew nothing about the day before. And then I remember having toothache once and thinking, if I could hurt my thumb, then something else would hurt and maybe I wouldn't feel my tooth so much. How do you feel about those passages we've had read and seen? How do you feel about the gifts of the Spirit? Maybe you're, yay, can't wait to have that gift. Or maybe you're, thank you, but I wouldn't want to draw that much attention to myself. Or perhaps, what on earth am I going to do with that? Just wait a minute, because genuine gifts glorify the giver. The gifts that we are given from Jesus are ours in order that we will bring glory to his name. They're not meant to point to us. They're meant to point to Jesus. If we just think about verses 4 to 6 for the moment, we see in Paul's writing a sort of early understanding of what we know as the Trinity. It became known as this threesomeness of God, one God in three persons. When Paul says there are different kinds of gifts, but one Spirit, different kinds of service, but the same Lord, different kinds of working, but the same God works through all of them in all. Our God is one. There is unity in the Godhead. And God works as one in the giving of these diverse gifts for the building up of the church, the body of Christ. Yes, the church universal, but also the local congregation. That brilliant body illustration that Paul uses is sandwiched between two similar lists of gifts. Though we see in the first section that Paul writes of things which are observed. This is what happens, and I can label them to help you. In the sense that he had been in a position to see groups of young Christians using the gifts that God had given them. But perhaps in rather a disorganized way. In the second set, in verses 28 to 30, that seems to start with a sense of roles given. But remember, all these things are a sign of the Spirit of God working in and through and among his church. Through and among us, given for the building up of the people of God, so that God's people will become more and more the body of Christ. When Jesus spoke of the Father sending the Holy Spirit to the disciples, it was so that he, the Spirit, would be with them forever. But I'm sure many of you are aware, as I am aware, that sometimes in his church, the Spirit's presence is more apparent than at other times. And just because his presence seems to be with us more at one time than another, that doesn't mean it's not there at any other time. Because when God's people meet, God's Spirit is with them in a very special way. Paul writes of these different ways of the Spirit showing himself at work among his church. And it does seem that, from what he'd heard, the Corinthian church was well used to the gifts, but it was using them in a chaotic manner. Whereas you might say that we, as in common with a lot of the UK church today, needs to ask for these gifts and use them. Paul begins by mentioning word of wisdom. The unique ability to speak out the wisdom of God, especially in an important situation. When we think of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, and Paul in Acts 23, when they were brought before the Jewish court, the Sanhedrin, they needed all the wisdom of God to proclaim the right thing. And whilst we know that Paul was a very learned person, we know that Stephen, we don't know so much about Stephen. We know that he was a Greek, therefore he wouldn't necessarily have been schooled in the Jewish law. And yet he could stand before the Sanhedrin and proclaim what he knew about God and Jesus. Then there is the word of knowledge. The unique ability to declare knowledge that could only be revealed supernaturally. As is shown in Jesus telling Peter that there would be a coin for the temple tax in the mouth of the first fish he caught. It wasn't magic. It was that knowing of something that could only be known supernaturally. And when Paul spoke in the risk of life and then the saving of life during the disastrous sea trip to Rome at the end of Acts, he was given knowledge of what was going to happen, and he was able to help his sailors. He used it first to suggest they didn't sail, and then he used that knowledge to let them know that they would be saved. When Charles Spurgeon was saved, it was at the preaching of a man who directed a portion of his sermon right to the young Spurgeon. He did not know what the outcome of what he said would be, but it produced one of the greatest preachers of recent history. The challenge is to use understanding and discernment, because even if something is true, it doesn't mean that it is from God. And it doesn't mean that the one speaking is truly representing God. Paul then goes on to speak about faith. And though faith is an essential part of every Christian's life, the gift of faith is a unique ability to trust God against all odds, against all circumstances, as Peter did when he walked out of the boat onto the water. We know that the account tells us that suddenly he became aware of the wind and the waves. But at the moment he stepped out and walked on the water, he was using extraordinary faith, trusting God against all odds. Another example of the gift of faith was the Christian leader and philanthropist George Muller, who in 19th century England provided for thousands of orphans completely by prayer. He never asked for donations. He prayed when the need was there, and donations came, but he never asked for donations. Gifts of healing and working of miracles often operate with the gift of faith. The healing of the crippled man in Acts 3 and Acts 14. These things are not done on the whim of an individual, as if the power to heal or to work miracles was at their permanent disposal to be conjured up when needed. Because when you think that the church in Corinth, as in the churches across much of the Greco-Roman world, they were in a society where magicians conjured things up, where a lot of the religious practices of their day were dubious. And even if you think back to the beginnings of the Christian faith journey in its Jewish roots, and Moses asking Pharaoh to let his people go, and Moses and Aaron being given those signs from God, those plagues, think how many times Pharaoh's magicians conjured up the same things. Human nature will often want to use what it sees as the things of God to bring glory to man and not to bring glory to God. And it's useful to remember, when we are pleading for healing for someone, that Paul could not cure Timothy, nor could he remove his own thorn in the flesh. These great gifts of the Spirit operate as an individual is prompted by God and given the faith to perform such a work. Paul then goes on to these other speaking gifts, gifts of prophecy and tongues. Prophecy is the telling forth of God's message in a particular situation, always in accord with God's word and his current work. Sometimes it has the character of foretelling the future, as in Acts 21, when Agabus tells Paul what will happen to him. Prophecy is not the same as preaching. Paul knew what he was talking about and uses different Greek words for prophecy and a different word for preaching. Tongues can be a similar ministry. although the content of the message is not easily understood because there's a lack of clarity in the language. It's for this reason that there is an associated ministry of interpretation. And then there is that gift that is the ability to distinguish between spirits, to know that something is from God and not from man or from the evil one. And sometimes you might have noticed, if you've been at any Christian conferences or in other churches, that sometimes if someone feels they have a message from God, a prophecy or a tongue from God, they will come and speak to the church leadership. And sometimes the leadership will ask if there is an interpretation, or will ask for a prophecy to be given because they are aware or they are pretty sure that this is in line with what God wants us to hear. Not for nothing is Satan called the deceiver. He wants to infiltrate the church and will use the unwary for his purposes. So be on your guard and give thanks to God for the gift of discernment. And the gift of tongues can also be a personal language of prayer, so the believer can communicate with God beyond the limits of knowledge and understanding. Through Paul's letters, it's easy to see the pitfalls that the church in Corinth had fallen into. And Paul has to tell them that this prayer tongue has a very small place in the corporate life of the church and has to be carefully controlled and never used without interpretation. And Paul also says, don't use it in public worship, because if someone is there who has no idea what's going on, they are more likely to be put off than attracted. Tongues can be an earthly language. The more we become a very close world, the more communication there is. Sometimes it's discovered that a tongue that someone was speaking in, thinking it was a heavenly language, somebody else in the congregation has come up and said, "How come you know that language? That's the language of my home." I know a midwife who always prays very quietly in tongues as she wraps a newborn baby. One time a mother thanked her for her prayer and asked how come she, the midwife, could speak the mother's native language. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is not to promote himself or any person, but to glorify and represent Jesus. The ministry of the Holy Spirit will be according to the nature of Jesus. Sometimes it can become too easy to focus on our own little area of gifting and believe that maybe others aren't really walking or working with God. Yet God has a glorious diversity in the way he does things. And we should never expect everything to be to our own taste or our own emphasis. Paul exhorts those Christian Corinthians and us too. You are the body of Christ and each of you has a part in it. And he speaks of how, in a matter of church order, different people are appointed to different roles with different gifting. Apostles are those special ambassadors of the church. Paul and others in his day had a unique apostolic authority, which will never be repeated because the foundation of the church has already been set. However, God still does have and use special ambassadors in the church today, though not with the same authority as the original apostles. Prophets are those particularly called to speak forth for God with that gift of prophecy. God continues to raise up those who will speak out to the church and the world with special blessing and power. Then there is this lovely one of helps. Those who help or assist others in doing the work of the Lord. In John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, help came to Christian when he was mired in the Slough of Despond. And that's perhaps often where the gift is most useful. The parts of the body work together. The eyes and ears alert the whole body to what is going on around. Your hands do not only feed and defend themselves, but feed and defend the whole body. The heart does not only supply blood to itself, but pumps it round the whole body. Sadly, sometimes there is a part of our body that only lives to serve itself. It doesn't contribute anything to the rest of the body. And if anything, it uses to feed and grow itself. In our own bodies, we call it cancer. Spurgeon had some hard words to say to the Baptist church. I want every member of this church to be a worker. We don't want any drones. If there are any of you who want to eat and drink and do nothing, there are plenty of places elsewhere. Using God's gifts should be a great leveller within the church. Because as those first disciples discovered, you don't need to be well schooled to be used mightily by God. Sometimes it is those people who are recent Christians or who know little about the faith who can be greatly used by God as he pours his gifts out upon them. God is love, and his gifts are merely ways we can express and receive love from God and love to one another. Think of the gifts as the containers, and what is in the container as love. Love is far more important than the container. Without love, all our gifting is nothing. Paul tells us to earnestly desire the best gifts, those that will build this church up more and more into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.